tonight, our speaker is personal brother Mel Futrell from Birmingham, Alabama, minister of the Shades Mountain Church of Christ. Now I give your attention to brother Mel Futrell.
Thank you, brother Tommy. Thank you, brother Stroud. Thank you, brother Flunder. And greetings, brethren and friends, for joining us tonight on this nationwide gospel meeting conference call. I send greetings from the Shades Mountain Church of Christ here in Birmingham, as Brother Tommy mentioned, and also from the Churches of Christ throughout the state of Alabama. In a moment, I'm going to be preaching under the title of The Bible is Right About the Light, but if I may, I'd like to begin with some brief reflections on this program and what it has meant to me, and I know to so many others. If I may be brutally honest with you, it came just at the right time, brethren. The timing could not have been better. In the year 2020, with a raging virus and an upset economy and country, and that may be putting it mildly, this program brought truth and hope and love to thousands upon thousands, and I have been honored to be a part of it for four or five times over the course of the year, and now here we are in May of 2021. The final month for this nationwide gospel meeting conference call, and I am indebted to Brother Tommy and Brother Stroud and Brother Flunder and to the wonderful brethren at the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston for the invitation to come back and to join you. But if I may, in closing on this matter, the program brought the message of salvation to a lost and dying world, the message of salvation. And that message is the gospel of Jesus the Christ. In Romans 1, 15 through 17, the Apostle Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith," Romans 1, 15 through 17. So if I may say for a final time, by way of introduction, this program last year and this year brought to us truth, hope, and love, and most importantly, it brought the message of salvation. And our thanks to the host congregation and to the host minister, Brother Tommy Brooks. And again, I'm Brother Mel Futrell from the Shades Mountain Church of Christ here in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm honored to be with you tonight. Let's turn our full attention now, brethren, to the theme of the hour, The Bible is Right About the Light. Here we go now. Point number one, brethren and friends, the Bible is right about the light because God is light. God is light. I hope you'll be turning with me to 1 John chapter 1 in your Bible, and as you're turning there, let me tell you what you already know. There is perhaps no contrast better known in Scripture than that of light and darkness. And our brother Jackson last night spoke on the topic, on the theme of darkness, and did a wonderful job doing that, and our thanks to him. But tonight, again, our focus is on the light. The Bible is right about the light. And point number one that we're beginning right now, the Bible is right about the light, brethren, because God is light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, you'll find in your Bible and in mine to say this: "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I'm quoting primarily from the King James Version, but you follow along in your Bible that you have in your hands, on the table, on the couch beside you, on your lap, whatever the case might be. One more time on 1 John 1 and verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Did you get that? God is light and in him, in God, is no darkness at all. What a wonderful contrast between light and darkness. Our God is the essence of light. He is the apex of light. He is the epitome of light. He is light itself, my brethren and my friends. Not only that, but may I add that in James 1 and verse 17, there the brother of our Lord said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the," watch it now, "Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is light, my brethren and friends, 1 John 1:5. And he is identified in Scripture as the Father of lights. May I add to that, still on point number one, God is light. Not only is God light, not only is he the Father of lights, but he is the creator of natural light, of visible light, and even of the invisible spectrum of light as well. We turn our attention to John 1, 1 through 5, again from the King James Version. I quote, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said," here we are now, brethren, "and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day," Genesis 1, 1 through 5. You saw there what I alluded to a moment ago, brethren and friends, that great contrast. May I say it again? There is perhaps no greater contrast, no contrast better known in Scripture than that of light and darkness. And we see it in the opening words, the opening verses of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. And all of that leads us to conclude again. The Bible, brethren and friends, is right about the light because God is light. May I conclude point number one by sharing this piece of information with you. According to recent data, 4% of Americans self-identify as atheists. May I say that again? 4% of adult Americans identify as atheists. Another 5% on top of that identify as agnostic. Now, the atheist, brethren and friends, is one who believes there is no God. They deny God. They reject God. Now, follow our line of argument here. If they deny the existence of God, if they deny God, if they reject God, and they do, then they are rejecting the light. They are denying the light. The Bible is right about the light, and our point number one still is God is light. Point number two tonight, my brethren and friends, the Bible is right about the light because Jesus is the light of the world. I direct your attention to the Gospel of John, Chapter 8 and verse 12. And there you will find this statement from the lips of our Lord himself. Jesus said, and I quote from John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Oh, how important it is to follow our Lord. May I quote that again? Won't hurt to say it. Won't hurt to quote it. Won't hurt to read it a second or third time for that matter. I am the light of the world. One of those I am statements, one of the many I am statements found in the Gospel of John that every gospel preacher has preached on multiple occasions over years of preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, there David, the sweet singer of Israel, said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" The verse goes on from there, but let me say that again. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And the answer is, dear brethren, the answer is, dear friend, no one. The Lord is your light if you are a child of God. The Lord is your light and your salvation if you are a member of the Church of Christ. The Lord is your light and your salvation if you are a New Testament Christian. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Gospel of John begins like this, the opening verses of the prologue. Normally, the first 18 verses of John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, are viewed as the prologue. Won't you consider the first 5 verses of John chapter 1? Again, I'm quoting from the King James Version. Follow along in your Bible, dear brethren and friends. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Here we are now, 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5. "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Did you get that? The darkness does not comprehend the light. And God is light, point number one. And Jesus is the light of the world. If we don't believe that, then we cannot approach to the light of salvation. If we don't believe that God is light, if we deny that Jesus is the light of the world, then we're not only denying their very statements recorded in their book, the Word of God, but we are disallowing ourselves from Jesus, the Lord himself, being our light and our salvation. We are cutting ourselves off. No one else is doing it to us. Point number three. The Bible is right about the light because God's people are called to be the light of the world. God's people, in fact, are to be the light of the world. That is the directive, as you well know. That is the directive that focuses on our influence per Matthew 5, 14 through 16. In that opening chapter of the three-chapter Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. In these opening verses, if you will, of Matthew chapter 5, here's what you'll find. Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16 from the King James Version, brethren and friends. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, we're now in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brethren and friends, the Bible is right about the light because God's people are to be the light of the world indeed. That directive concerning our influence. Many decades ago, or several decades ago, maybe a better way to put it, I read and memorized a poem that I still use from time to time. I'm quite fond of it. The poet said, relative to influence, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faulty or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? That is a wonderful, a lovely poem about influence. But as wonderful it is, as it is, as lovely as it is, it pales in comparison to the words of the master teacher himself. It pales in comparison to the words of inspiration from the lips of the Lord himself in Matthew 5, 14 through 16 that I've already quoted before you. Indeed, we are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5, 13, and we are to be the light of the world, and we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, the Father which is in heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any sweeter than that. God is light, point number one. Jesus is the light of the world, point number two. And the Bible is right about the light, and because it is, God's people know that they are to be the light of the world as well. Our influence matters in this lost and dying world. In a world of darkness, brethren and friends, in the world, or in this world of darkness, we must be light indeed. Point number four, the Bible is right about the light, and we are to walk in the light. You know where I'm headed. Brother Jackson was there last night and talking about darkness. Thank you, Brother Jackson. We're back there tonight talking about the light. Point number four, the Bible is right about the light, and we are to walk in the light. May I begin in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1. I quoted verse 5 as our primary proof text with point number 1 a moment ago, God is light. Let's pick up with verse 6 and then get into verse 7 that we all know. Again, proof text for point number 4. The Bible is right about the light and we are to walk in the light. If we say that we have fellowship with him, watch it now, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Did you get that? Before we go to the next verse, before we go to verse 7, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Indeed, how descriptive of people then and now. But there's that conjunction of contrast. But if we walk in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. The Bible is right about the light, and we are to walk in the light. Now, why walk in the light? Well, the answer or answers to that are found right here in this immediate context, right here in these verses, are they not, dear they brethren and friends? We are walking the light because when we do, we have fellowship one with another. That's horizontal fellowship indeed. And we have that horizontal fellowship because we have vertical fellowship with God, because we're the children of God, because we've been baptized into Christ and he's added us to his church. But also, we now enjoy the benefit and blessing of the cleansing blood of Jesus the Christ. We walk in the light and thus enjoy fellowship one with another and enjoy the cleansing effects of the blood of Jesus the Christ. May I also direct your attention to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We're still at point number 4. The Bible is right about the light, and we are to walk in the light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people," watch it now, "that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." We've been called out of darkness into the light, and we've been called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says in your Bible and in mine, dear friend, dear brethren, what? "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ," 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. So put all of that together. Put together 1 John 1 and verse 7 and 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And look at what follows from rightly combining those inspired thoughts, those inspired words. We are called by the gospel into the light, and thus we walk in the light. We are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, into the light, out of darkness, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And therefore, we have the obligation and the opportunity to walk in the light. How beautiful is that? And those who are members of the Church of Christ tonight, listening via your phone to this broadcast, to this nationwide gospel meeting conference call, listening to me proclaim the word from my home study here at 959 Alford Avenue in Birmingham, Alabama. I hope you are walking the light as a child of God. I pray and hope that you're walking in the light as a child of God. We live in a dark world. Darkness, as Brother Jackson mentioned last night, represents the majority of those whom we come in contact with. The moral realm of evil, the world, is all about us and is constantly putting pressure on us to conform to the world. But per Romans 12 and verse 2, rather than being conformed to the world, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we believe that with every fiber of our being. Point number 5 tonight at 9:18. And thank you for your careful attention to the Word of God. The Bible is right about the light. Point number 5, and people, we know from Scripture, people love darkness more than light. The Bible is right about the light. And thus we understand from the Scriptures that people love darkness more than light. I'm thinking about John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And what you'll find there, if you're turning there in your Bible, what you'll find are these words: "Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Watch it now. "Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth," I'm in verse 20 now, "for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh he to the light because his deeds are evil." Indeed, he hates the light. He doesn't want to come to the light, lest his deeds be reproved and his evil can no longer continue. The Bible is right about the light, point number 5, and thus from Scripture we understand that people love darkness more than light. And from that we conclude that we have a big job. We have a responsibility. Again, because the vast majority of people that dot this beautiful, wonderful planet that God has provided for us are walking in darkness. They're not the children of God. They're the children of Satan. They're the children of the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. John chapter 8 and verse 44, again recorded by John from the lips of our Lord. How revealing. Let us never apologize for what our Lord said and what we believe and ought to promote out of love, without a doubt. With courtesy and love on our part, with meekness and humbleness bearing forth out of our person. But we must tell the truth. The Bible is right about the light. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. God's people are to be the light of the world. We are to walk in the light. And point number five, where we are, people love darkness more than light. Knowing that, knowing the truth of John 3, 19 and 20, then we promote the truth. We promote the light. We promote God as the light, Jesus as the light of the world. We use our influence and attempt to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and we're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, as I quoted a moment ago. Indeed, we do all of that because we recognize that family members and friends and co-workers and neighbors, that they're walking in darkness rather than the light. We don't rejoice in that, but we recognize that. We acknowledge that, and then we operate on the basis of that, and we promote light because the Bible is right about the light. Two more points tonight, 9:21. Follow along with me with open minds and open Bibles, dear brethren and friends. Point number six of 7 points tonight, the Bible is right about the light, and thus there are warnings in Scripture about corrupting the light. Point number six, the Bible is right about the light. And thus, we recognize that there are warnings in Scripture about corrupting the light. May I provide you just two, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 from the King James Version, Isaiah 5 and verse 20, here's what you'll find. Here's what God through Isaiah said to the people of God in days gone by. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put," here we are now, "that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Did you get that? That is a corruption. That is a statement, an inspired statement, an inerrant statement, an infallible statement about the ability of people. We may not be able to explain it, but the ability of people and the desire of people to corrupt the light, to corrupt the good with evil, to corrupt the light with darkness, to corrupt, again, the sweet with the bitter. May I quote it one more time? Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Circle it, underline it, highlight it, mark it in your Bible. Woe unto them. I always pay attention, Old Testament or New, when I run into the word woe. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In the New Testament, there is a bit of a parallel in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. And if I may say so again, Brother Jackson was there last night. Certainly there would be some commonality between Brother Jackson's message last night on darkness and mine, Brother Mel's tonight on light, because we're dealing again, as I noted in the introduction, and let me say for a third and final time, there is perhaps no contrast better known in Scripture than that of light and darkness. Brother Jackson covered darkness last night. I'm covering light tonight. And so, naturally, we're going to lap over on some verses of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, I hope you're there in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Here's what you'll find from the pen of the Apostle Paul. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion," here we are now, "hath light with darkness?" I'm not going to quote anymore, just that opening bit there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, these and the questions that follow imply a negative response, do they not? Of course they do. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? It does not. What communion hath light with darkness? It does not. There is no communion. There is no fellowship between these oddities, if you will, my brethren and my friends. And so Isaiah 5:20 and 2 Corinthians 6:14 represent inspired statements that, again, tell us via warning about those who would corrupt the light. And if we don't heed that warning, the fault is only ours. Point number 7, and finally tonight at 25 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Again, thank you for your careful and concerned attention to the Word of God. Our theme tonight continues as the Bible is right about the light. Point number 7, and finally tonight, and this is the only place to end. The Bible is right about the light because God's Word is our light. Again, the Bible is right about the light because, point number 7, God's Word is our light. You know, or perhaps you know, where I'm headed. Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105. There David, in the longest of the 150 Psalms, the 176 verse length of Psalm 119. What an incredible psalm magnifying the Word of God. Won't you read it tonight before you pray and pillow your head? Let me offer that assignment to you. I can't enforce that, but let me invite you and exhort you, and if I may even admonish you, tonight, before you pray, before you pillow your head, read Psalm 119 in its entirety. You might say, well, Brother Mel, that's 176 verses, but they're short verses, and you can get through it without any difficulty whatsoever. You'll then pray a beautiful prayer, and you'll pillow your head in sweet sleep, being focused on the Word of God, brethren and friends, and knowing that God's Word is our light. Psalm 119, 104 and 105 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy Word, here we are, we all know verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brethren and friends, you either believe that or you do not. You either believe that or you do not. You either accept it or you do not. It's one or the other. I believe it with all my heart. I accept it with every fiber of my being. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of God at Corinth, said, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. When we believe something, brethren and friends, when we're sold on something, you can't shut us up. We're going to promote it indeed. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, of God's Word, of God and His Word, His Word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I tried to hold it back and I could not. Jeremiah 20. And verse 9, His Word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I tried holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah attempted not to preach, not to proclaim the Word of God, but he couldn't do it. It was burning through his very being. He made an effort to hold it back, and he could not. I cannot either. Brother Tommy cannot either. Brother Stroud cannot either. Brother Flunder cannot either. Brother Jackson from last night cannot either. All our wonderful men over the course of this year that have been called upon by Brother Tommy to preach the Word. All these faithful preachers, my brethren and friends, we are not going to shut up about the gospel. We're not going to shut up about the truth, about the faith, about the Word of God, because the Bible is right. 9:28 is our time factor as we close tonight. Again, our theme, the Bible is right about the light because God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. God's people are to be the light of the world. We are to walk in the light. People love darkness more than light. There are warnings in Scripture about corrupting the light, and God's Word is our light. I hope you'll think about the message I've offered tonight. Hope you'll spend careful time in reflecting upon it and meditating upon this message from God's Word. And if we can help you with your soul salvation, we want to do so. And you can contact Brother Tommy. He'll give you the details, as he does every night, the details that you'll need, the numbers that you'll need, and he'll aid you in contacting the Church of Christ in your area. Visit their services. Talk to their faithful preacher. Engage in a study of God's Word on your own and with them. Ask the questions that you want to ask and receive Bible answers, and know that the one true church written about and spoken about on the pages of Scripture, that church is the one you're added to by Jesus himself, by God himself, by the Lord himself, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. How wonderful to be with you tonight. Godspeed to each and every one of you. What an honor to be with you. Remember this, the Bible is right about the light. And now, Brother Tommy.